Hi, George. Welcome to the show. And just for listeners, our next interviewee is George Kengeri from the Save the Preston Market campaign. So welcome, George.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So first of all, there will be some listeners who don't know about the campaign, might not live in the local area. While I know a lot of people in the Darabin area and a lot of people do know about the campaign, could you just give a sense to listeners who might not know who is trying to tear down the Preston Market and why, and a little of the history of the campaign, just short history?
So the market, the Preston Market's in the middle of, well, it's in the middle of Preston. It's a very large market. It has tens of thousands of visitors every year. It's been there for about 50 years, and it's a much-loved place. And but there are developers who are trying to tear it down and replace it with about 2,200 apartments or so. And the issue is that the market is privately owned. So technically, they own the market and are allowed to do what they want with it. But what we're saying as a community group is that this market is, it's a public place, and it's sort of become too big to fail, or something. You can put it like that. It's too big to be in the private hands of these developers. And so we want it to be publicly acquired by the government in order to make sure that 100% of the market is saved. And these developers, they're intent on knocking it down. And what they're claiming is that they're going to build a new market nearby on the site, on another part of the site, which is going to replace this market. But the issue with that is that we can tell from their plans that, firstly from their plans, that it's not going to be a new market. It's going to be much more like a shopping mall or something like that. It's going to be all glossy and upmarket to match their fancy apartments that, which they're going to build. And it's going to have a cinema and a supermarket and car parks built on top of the structure. A whole lot of the existing traders are not going to exist, and they're actually being forced out of the market now so that the developers don't have to transfer them over. The other thing that we know is that developers have made these promises before. So if you look at Mooney Ponds Market, for instance, that was a beautiful private market. The developers said, oh, don't worry, we're going to respect the market here, and we will, you know, replace it, and it's no longer there, and there's no longer a market there. So that's the situation in a nutshell. Oh, except that so we've been fighting for, there's been a campaign fighting for the market for 10 years, and we are the latest iteration of that. We've been in existence for 2 years or so. And, so far it's going reasonably well, but there's quite a way to go.
Well, actually, the campaign does show the extent of public love for the market and opposition to what the developers are doing, because you had a massive public meeting last Friday night. My estimation, I was at the meeting, was that there were over 400 people. I'm not sure. I mean, that's not an exact count, and I know you had to close the doors. So I'm wondering if you could sort of talk about the response from the people of Darabin and what the market means to the locals, and probably not just locals. I think there are people right across the north of Melbourne who go to the Preston markets, not just people who live very locally.
Yeah, well, the market's loved by people all over Australia. And even when we started our campaign and we were made some T-shirts about the market, we even got an order from Canada. I think someone in Canada was wanting one. It's just a hugely important place for people, not only in Darabin, across the entire northern Melbourne, really. People come from, you know, Diamond Creek, and even some people come over from, I don't know, Sunshine and places like that, Warrandyte, as well as locals. The campaign, yeah, as you said, the meeting on Friday was absolutely huge. And, yeah, that's what we estimated as well, around 450 people. And, we had to shut the doors and talk to people outside and ask them to come to another subsequent organising meeting. But the campaign, I feel like it's really ignited a feeling of community pride in people. Which, you know, I think people have always felt pride in their community in Darabin and Preston and the surrounds, but this has really, I think, ignited something where people feel like, oh, you know, we're not just going to let these rich developers just come in and do whatever they want and tell us it's for our own good. We've got our own ideas about what we think should be happening in our community, and we're going to, you know, we're going to prosecute that. We're going to fight for what we want and what we need. And initially, when we told people that we were, you know, that we were fighting against this development, a lot of people, everyone supported us, basically. The number of people who support the development, I mean, honestly, the number of people who support the development who I've met, I could count on one hand, almost. But people would say, oh, you know, it's too hard, you know. But as the campaign's gone on and gathered in strength and we've got some wins under our belt, people are starting to feel like, oh, maybe we can do this, and you know, getting more involved. And that the most recent thing that's culminated in, yeah, is this town hall meeting, which had 450 people there. Everyone was very passionate about the market. It felt really incredible to be in a room like that full of people who were just like, you know, united in with that purpose. And so, yeah, so all indications are that the community is more and more behind us as more and more people feel that not only do they love the market, but we can actually win and keep our market.
Well, what would be great now would be if you could tell us a little bit about the latest developments, and maybe just one thing I might throw in. I imagine Preston Market, like all of the other markets in Melbourne, used to be publicly owned. They never used to be in the hands of private corporations. And then the Kennett government sold off the markets. And I didn't know the story about the Moonee Ponds market, but when I moved to Glenroy a number of years ago, I was really excited to see a sign for the Glenroy market, and I was waiting for it to open, and it never opened because it had been sold off, and now it's been replaced by a plumbing shop. So the Preston market must have been a public market in the past, but maybe give us a bit of a sense of, I get the impression the state government has now, maybe under the pressure of the campaign, you know, started to recognise the significance of the market and making more sympathetic noises than they have in the past. But there was a lot of discussion at the public meeting about public acquisition, and there was a motion moved and, you know, enthusiastically supported, I think, unanimously by the meeting. So if you could just tell us what the latest developments are and what the demands of the campaign are.
So the first thing I should say is that the Preston Market has always been privately owned. That's been one.
Oh, is it? Okay, I didn't know that.
A lot of people do believe, though, that it was publicly owned. And that just really speaks to the public nature of the market and the fact that it should be publicly owned, you know. When you tell people, oh, you know, this is actually privately owned, people can't believe it. It's preposterous. And recently the developer's been hanging out there and telling people he doesn't like to leave and things like that. And it's like, oh, my God, this is so wrong, you know. It does need to be publicly owned. But yeah, the latest developments, well, in terms of our campaign, yes, at the public meeting last Friday, apart from having a community discussion, which was really, you know, vibrant and fantastic, we passed three motions, which were, number one, that the government needed to recognise that the community doesn't expect, like, 60% of the market to be saved or 70%, but the entire structure, 100%. That we want all of it to be saved. Number two was that we passed a motion demanding that the developers treat the traders with respect and grant them leases and reduce their rents, which is something that the developers have been squeezing the traders on for years and years, actually, with short leases and high rents, basically with the intention of running down the market so that then they can say, oh, look, the market, it needs to be sort of fixed up and, you know, zhuzhed up anyway, so you should do our plan, basically. And the third motion was that the government, state government, ought to publicly acquire the market to ensure its smooth running and continuous running into the future without being at risk of developers. So that's our latest kind of, the latest occurrence from us. Obviously, we're planning a lot of events into the future, and a lot more people have want to get involved following that public meeting. So we've got a new surge of energy, which is fantastic. From the developer's perspective, what they're doing, which people should be aware of, particularly if you visit the market, they've hired a public relations firm with actually a lot of deep connections to the ALP, actually, to run a confusion campaign, basically. So our campaign's called Save the Preston Market. They've started this campaign called Save the Traders. And in that campaign, they claim that the only way that the existing traders are going to survive into the new market, or survive, sorry, into the future, is if the developers are allowed to build their new market. Otherwise, they're not going to be allowed to have new leases. They're not going to, the market will have to be closed for 2 years while it's upgraded, and that means at the end of their businesses and stuff like that. So, on the one hand, they've been squeezing the traders for years and treating them horrifically, and on the other hand, they're the ones claiming that they care about the traders and want to save them. I don't think that campaign's working very well. Everyone I've spoken to, at the very least, just looks at it suspiciously, but no one really has come up to us and gone, look, I've seen the Save the Traders campaign. It's actually the developers who are going to save the market. So the next thing that's coming up basically is just that the planning minister and the planning department is going to produce a new precinct structure plan, which will indicate how much of the market has to be retained. And then based on that, we'll either be unhappy or happy with that, and we'll support it or object to it. And the opposite will be true for the developers, I guess. Whatever we're happy with, they won't be happy with, and whatever they're happy with, we probably won't be happy with. And so there's basically a sort of a public relations kind of battle and a going on at the moment prior to this precinct structure plan being released. And when that plan's released, then we'll have to see where we go from there.
Well, I was... actually, we're about due. We need to start wrapping up the show. But I was interested that the local Labor MP was sort of saying, oh, the state government has discussed public acquisition of the market, but we just can't work out which portfolio it should go into, so we think maybe Darabin Council should buy it instead.
That was very interesting, and we're going to be following up on that, right? So, Nathan Lambert, the local MP, he didn't really have any concrete arguments against public acquisition that were very convincing, really. So, the main one he had was that, there's no portfolio, and so the government wouldn't sort of administratively know what to do with the market. And it's like, from our perspective, if that's the biggest problem to acquiring the market, that's fantastic, because we can sort that out.
Right.
I'm sure Darabin Council would be happy to sort of work out some sort of administrative sort of system if the state government were to help them buy the market. Absolutely. So, we were glad to hear those words, although they were a little bit confusing because, it was unclear as to whether they were Nathan Lambert's words or the state government's words. He was there in the capacity as a representative of the Premier, but we're going to have to try and hold him to those words and see what happens with that as well.
Well, thanks, George. That's all we've got time for today, but it's great having you on the show, and it actually looks like the campaign's made progress. And while you haven't won, you've made lots of progress. So congratulations.
Thanks a lot, Sue, and thanks for having me. And I encourage everyone who's listening, if you haven't gotten involved already, visit our Facebook page or our website and get in touch with us and get involved in the organising.
Great. Thanks very much.
Thanks. Bye. Bye.